Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh boy, it's warm here. So the message will be shorter. That's good, huh? It's really good to meet in person like this and celebrate Resurrection Sunday. I mean, really, the resurrection of Jesus is the foundational truth of all Christians throughout all the ages. And today I'm praying that its meaning and its your understanding of it will be enlarged, and so that we can appreciate the amazing truths of the resurrection, the crucifixion of Jesus. So, you know, as I was thinking about this message too, I've been thinking about how do you share the message of Jesus about the resurrection? There's so many trite things that we can say. I mean, and they're good things, like he is risen indeed. I mean, I remember when long, long time ago we introduced that in, we had such a robust response. And it's easy to get caught up in the Easter message, but sometimes we don't really bring that Easter message close to our hearts. And so I really hope this morning that you would really take the time to just let your heart be receptive for God to speak into your lives. I'm going to share a very simple message that I think it's simple, but that you probably have heard before. And I hope that God will just really speak into your heart. It's taken from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8. And Paul says this, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me as to one abnormally born." This is the Apostle Paul speaking. But he says of the first importance is this: Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried. I mean, if you listen this morning, you can hear that whole message that Christ died for our sins. If you've been around church for a long time, you know that it's a pretty common phrase, Christ died for our sins. If you've listened to people talk during the Holy Week, you know that Christ died for our sins. But those words really pack a lot to it. And I hope that as we break it down, we'd understand more and appreciate what Christ really did. I'm going to start this morning with an observation of the wise teacher in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says this, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die." He's describing the beginning and the end of life, and everything that follows in this passage is that time in between the beginning and the end. He says there's a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. I guess he saw COVID-19 happening a long time ago. A time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Don't you think that the teacher nails down the condition of life on planet Earth? I mean, you don't have to be a theologian, a philosopher, a doctor, or a psychologist. It describes planet Earth. There's a spectrum of emotions. There are joys and there are sorrows. There are victories and defeats. There are experiences that are all in between. Sometimes we are on the high side of life and sometimes we are on the low side of life. And this morning, I kind of wanted to zero in about the end of life, death. Why am I talking about death on Easter, Resurrection Sunday? Well, probably the most obvious answer is that without death, there is no resurrection. So the significance of the resurrection is tied in to the significance of death. Death isn't something we like to talk about. I say this all the time at a funeral. It's something that we probably avoid talking about unless we are at a funeral. But do you realize that death is an important subject in the Bible? And not only that, it is an important subject to people of this world. The words death, die, dying are mentioned over 1,000 times in the Bible. It is an important subject in the scriptures also. And there's something about death that is both natural and unnatural. It is natural that it happens every day. Do you know that there are close to 3 million deaths in the United States every year? That's over 8,000 deaths a day. And in the world, there are between 56 and 60 million deaths per year. That's over 153,000 deaths per day. And the Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die. Death comes to us all. Benjamin Franklin said, in this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes. But as often as death comes, there's something about death that is unnatural, that it's jarring. Death interrupts the normalcy of life. And especially if it is an unprepared death or a sudden death. Sudden death has kind of a pronounced effect on our lives. And even if you were prepared for someone's death, it still has a lasting, deep impact on us. You know, I've listened to friends talk about the death of someone close to them, and it has impacted them so profoundly, especially if it feels like it's before their time, meaning that they died earlier than expected. Death makes us think about the bigger questions of life. Many years ago, a Hollywood actress was interviewed after her lover had died suddenly in an accident. She had been living without thought or reference to God for a long time. But once this happened, she said, "How could a loving God let this happen?" And in an instant, she went from indifference to God to anger toward him. Death is not a good thing. There's a reason why the fear of death permeates the world. And I want to share with you two reasons why I think this is so. Why I think that death is unnerving for all of us. Why many of us fear death. The first thing is this. We lack control over death. Americans in general pride themselves on being the masters of their destiny, the captain of their souls. You know, the Nike saying, just do it. We rarely think that we cannot control situations or outcomes. But when it comes to death, we do lack control. We rarely know with certainty when or where death will come. And that lack of control causes a feeling of helplessness for us. The second reason is this. When it comes to death, we are entering the deep waters of the unknown. Most of our lives, we can count on the wisdom of people who have preceded us, who have gone before us, who have experienced the highs and lows of life. They can share their experiences, what they learned, their mistakes, their failures and successes, and they can pass it on to us. But with death, how many people come back from the dead to tell us about it? I was once talking with a friend, and I asked my friend what he thought about what would happen after death, if he thought that there was an afterlife. And here's what he responded with. He said that he wasn't worried because his friend told him that everything will work out okay. So I asked him, "Your friend told you that everything will work out okay? How does he have any credibility to speak about the afterlife?" And he thought about it. Just said, Because I guess I just think everything's going to work out okay. It is amazing what people will believe. And too often today, people will believe whatever they want to believe. So I want to take a look at death from a biblical point of view. If death causes us to think about the bigger questions of life, then I think we need to know how death entered into this world. Was death always a part of this world, or did death come into existence for some reason? So let's start from the beginning. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and in it, it was so great, God said it was good. And the height of his creation was mankind, Adam and Eve, made in the image of God. And mankind thrived living in harmony or shalom with God. That is, until mankind chose to disobey God. Adam and Eve chose to act against what God told them not to do. When God tells us something is good and something is not good, and we choose to act against what he said, that is what we call sin. Sin is disobedience, rebelling against God. Sin is thinking we understand what is better than God understands. Mankind's sin and disobedience resulted in a different kind of world today. The consequence of their sin was death. Death entered into the world. And the Apostle Paul says this, that we are enslaved by this law of sin and death. The law of sin and death governs this world, that death has its clutches on the human race. Think about this. If you see a death certificate, right, there's a cause of death. Sometimes it's heart failure. Sometimes it's cancer. Sometimes it's COVID-19. It could be blunt trauma. Ultimately, though, the cause of death is sin, because Paul says the wages of sin is death. Death is the consequence of sin. Sin separates us from the source of life. It separates us from God, who is the source of life. And in this life, we are all going to experience physical death, which is called like the first death. Hebrews 9:27 says this, just as people are destined to die once. And in other words, we are all appointed to die once, and after that, the judgment. Did you know that there is a judgment after we die? People will give an account of their lives. They will be judged for what they have done in this life. People often ask, why do the wicked get away with their wickedness? They won't. They won't. Every person will be brought to account for their lives. But here's the dilemma in this. The dilemma is this. If God is just, and God is just, okay? If God is just, and I want to say God is just, there is no one who will be found righteous on their own merit. Not you, not me, not anyone on this planet. Every one of us has a guilty sentence hanging over us. So some people are afraid of death. I mean, we would say deathly afraid. But we should be if there's an impending judgment and we know that we will be found guilty. This is very sobering, isn't it? I mean, it's very sobering, but we need to know this because there is a second death, a spiritual death, that is an ultimate separation from the source of life, God. We get a peek into the future. We get a peek into this judgment in Revelations. In chapter 20, it talks about this at the kind of the end of ages. And it's often called the Great White Throne Judgment, this judgment. Let me read this to you. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. This picture is just kind of a description of there's no place to hide. Everything will be laid bare to see. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. You know, there's some important truths in the scriptures that are just so, there's so much joy in. But there are important truths in the scripture that are very sobering. And we need to face that. Who are the dead in this passage? It says that the people whose names were not found written in the book of life, they are the people who are the dead. In other words, they never repented. They never called upon the Lord. They wanted nothing to do with God. They are separated from the source of life. They are spiritually dead. They have never been born again. And it says the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Everything will be made known. We might fool people, but we can't fool God. Each person will be judged according to what they had done. And it says the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in it. And each person was judged according to what they had done. This language is this language that there is no place to hide. And it says, what is their destiny? The lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Wow. But here's the good news. Paul says, for I received what I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God does not want us to be separated from him. God does not want anyone to perish. God, by nature, is a saving God. God wants to save us from a second death. Amen? This is so incredible. It's saying that our sins were put on Jesus. Our sins were judged and paid for on the cross. Christ died for our sins. In other words, what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, referring to Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. The most pure and holy being in the universe, the only sinless man, Jesus, the God-man, paid the price for our sins so that we could be made right with God. Our sins were judged on the cross. Jesus died for our sins. And that's why in Hebrews 2:9 it says this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. You know, my mother-in-law, Nay's mom, was in Okinawa when the Battle of Okinawa came and the Allied troops came into to basically capture Okinawa. And there was just fierce fighting. And my mother-in-law, she told me about, you know, that they would go into hiding and into the caves and everything. And as the tide changed and the Americans had kind of got the victory and everything, they were trying to take care of the civilians so that the civilians wouldn't get hurt. But they had been hidden so long. And so they wanted them to come on out, that they would provide them food and everything. But my mother-in-law was telling us when she was a little kid that they had all these horrible images about Americans and the propaganda that was there. And so what had to happen was the soldiers had to come there and take the food that they were giving to them, and they would have to eat it in front of them so that they could see that it was safe. And then as they saw that, then they would develop the trust of the civilians and they would eat the food. In a way, this is kind of like what Christ did. He actually paid the price for our sins. He actually experienced death for us so that we would truly repent, that we would trust him, that we would recognize and confess our sinfulness before God, that we would gratefully receive the gift of forgiveness that Jesus offers us and commit to follow the Lord Jesus, that we would be born again, that we would live our lives for a different purpose. The Apostle Paul says this in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for us. This is the heart of the believer of Jesus, to live for the purpose of God. So listen again to that passage that I brought up. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, the verse right after that says this, so that Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sins, but to bring salvation to all those who are waiting for him. That is good news. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's why as a believer in Christ, when we put our faith in him, we know that we do not have to fear death anymore. That physical death is just a gateway to live with God eternally. That God gives us eternal life. That our names are written in the book of life. Praise God. Is that not good news? Isn't it the greatest news? I mean, this is the gospel. Jesus died for our sins, that whosoever believes in him, whoever puts their trust in him, will have eternal life and not perish. But on this Resurrection Sunday, there's even more good news. Can you believe it? It says Jesus was raised on the third day according to scriptures, and that he appeared to all the disciples. Do you realize that the resurrection of Jesus is so unique in all of history? There's none like it. There were people in the scriptures that were raised to life before. Elijah in the Old Testament raised a widow's son back to life. Jesus raised the widow of Nain's only son to life. Jesus raised Jairus' only daughter to life. Jesus raised Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, back to life in front of everybody. And even the Apostle Peter raised a disciple named Tabitha to life. But the difference is this. Eventually, all those people would die again. It was just a taste of what the resurrection would be like. But Jesus' resurrection is different. He was resurrected with an imperishable body. He will never experience death again. He lives forever. Jesus showed himself to his disciples. They saw him ascend into heaven. And do you know what? One day, we are all going to experience a resurrection body if you are a believer in Christ. And here's how Paul describes it. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. There are some who will be alive when Christ comes back again. But we will all be changed. Meaning there are some that will not physically die. When Christ comes, we will be changed. And in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you lived on this planet long enough, you want that imperishable body. Amen? Don't you long for that? Here's a picture of that. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among His people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the order of things, the old order of things, has passed away." You know, as great as your wedding day was, the birth of your children, the birth of your grandchildren, that big promotion you got, that huge bonus you got, owning your first home, all these things will pale in comparison to that glorious day when we see Jesus, when the perishable will clothe itself with the imperishable, when the mortal will clothe itself with immortality, when Jesus shows that death has been swallowed up in victory. That phrase, "Jesus died for our sins," it can either be a religious phrase that we hear in church, in Sunday school, or it can be a truth that brings us closer to God. It can be something we disregard, or it can be a truth that we respond to. God wants better for us. Will we bow down before Jesus and give Him our lives and follow Him? Will we recognize the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and in gratitude fall before Him and follow Him? That is what the crucifixion and the resurrection is about. That we have a hope. That what we're going through now, the sufferings, the things that we go through, the ups and downs of life, do not compare to the glory that God has prepared for them who love Him and who follow after Him. That is why Resurrection Sunday is such an incredible day. Because the last enemy, death, has been defeated. And that we may experience a physical death, it is appointed unto us to die physically. But after this, that judgment that was going to be before us has been judged already. Our sins have been judged. And Christ invites us into His kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much. I thank You so much that You have made a way for us to come into the kingdom of God, the kingdom that is pure, holy, righteous. And if you have made a way for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, help us to be people that are humble, that would humble ourselves before You, that we wouldn't be arrogant thinking that we can stand before You on our own accord, that we don't need to be judged because that sin, our sins were judged upon the cross. We thank You so much for that, Lord. Draw us closer to You. Help us to be people that live this life for a different purpose, that we live by faith in the Son of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.